Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creatives tonight are the geniuses behind the hit slasher film Death Drop Gorgeous. I got the privilege of speaking to these wonderful guys, just really diving deep into the film and the thought processes behind it. If you haven't seen this film, I really, really recommend it. It's so good. If you like horror, if you like drag, go check it out. This episode is sponsored by ThoroughClean. ThoroughClean has been serving Brevard County and its surrounding areas for more than 30 years. For all of your carpet, tile, and furniture cleaning and disinfecting needs, give ThoroughClean a call, 321-729-8198. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host pup, and enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hi. Good. Let me fix myself here. There we go.
You have a very galactic cosmos background. I'm a little disappointed by my gray shades.
Oh, I can change it. I always put something up there that has to do with, who I'm talking to, but I didn't have a chance. It's been a crazy day. So we're out of space now.
No worries. We're hoping Death Drop Gorgeous makes it to the stars as well. So
absolutely. Getting incredible reviews. Hi.
Mike will be signing on in just a second.
Okay, no problem. Well, we can just introduce ourselves and get going a little bit until he comes here. I just finished. Your movie. I have a child, so I had to be strategic about when and where I watched it. I just finished about, say, an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. And oh my God.
Oh, that, so it is fresh for you. You just walked out of that theater.
Yeah, okay. Yes, absolutely. Right. I still
hold no punches. No, hold no punches in this conversation. we can take it.
Absolutely. You are Christopher. And for everybody listening, we're just going to jump right in. For everybody listening, you play.
Yep. My name is Christopher Dalby. I do act in the movie as Broadway Brian is how it reads in the script. So I'm Dwayne's best friend, but no spoilers. But I also am like one of the writers and directors for the film
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. And I have to say your performance is, it's out there. I mean, you put the drama into it. I mean, you're just so over the top and just, it's incredible.
Well, if it makes you feel better, all of my friends said Chris wasn't acting, he was just playing his drunk self. So I think
that's just you a little relaxed, I see.
Right, exactly. But we got Officer O'Hara and Tony Two Fingers in this conversation as well.
Listen, I don't even want to talk to Tony Two Fingers. He's a jerk.
That's a testament to Brandon's true acting skills, because he's actually the sweetest and softest boy you're ever going to meet.
Oh my God. Well, I hope to find that out, because in the film, you are just such a complete douche nozzle. From the moment you opened your mouth, I was like, oh my God. But yeah, that's amazing acting skill part to make somebody, hate you. Or hate your character, I should say. So you're also a writer, is that correct? And director?
Yeah, the three of us all co-wrote it, and Chris and Mike kind of did most of the directing. I did the director photography kind of stuff.
Which is amazing, by the way. The cinematography on this film is really, really good. I was so impressed, especially no spoilers again to whomever hasn't, is listening and hasn't watched it. The last like 27 minutes, holy shit. I was like, okay. It's so freaking well done. So that's amazing. Are you guys were you friends before this? Are you buds?
Yeah, we were definitely friends before. And what we like to joke about is that we're still friends after this entire project. So for sure. Mike and I actually got connected when the script was, when the idea was just floating. So our relationship really started at the beginning of Death Drop Gorgeous, and luckily it has gone other places.
I feel like you can tell when people have a chemistry that work together, whether it's friendship or, if it's a romantic partnership, whatever. You can tell in the finished product, I think. It seems more cohesive. It seems like you guys definitely listened to each other and had a sharing of ideas when you're creating it. Did you find that to be true?
Yes, I think so. Especially if you know your friends really well, you kind of like what they're thinking, and like it kind of makes it easier. You know how they're going to react. You know what they're good at. So it makes it easy to kind of, delegate tasks, and it's just more efficient too.
Yeah, the collaborative process, people always ask us, like, how did that even work? Because there's three of you with three different minds going, but it actually was super organic. Like, it wasn't ever, like, this weird push and pull thing. We kind of just, like, naturally fell into, like writing a script together. We would, like, sip whiskey and, like, just sort of, like, go for it. And it just, now here we are.
Right. So where does this idea come from?
The depths of our very troubled minds. I think a lot of the inspiration comes right from Providence, Rhode Island, where we all live. We're all very active in our own queer communities, in the horror and music scenes here. And we're all lovers of horror. So we thought there was a really great story that really bridged the horror community and the queer community that we've lived, and add a little bit of supernatural dust to it all, and you have Death Drop Gorgeous.
Absolutely. And are you guys are you active in the drag scene? Is that something that's familiar to you? So you kind of just stepped into the high heels, so to speak.
Well, I'm not a performer, but
Chris and I.
Go ahead.
Brian. I never performed, but when I first moved to Providence, I think the phone's cutting out. Wait. Oh, sorry. So one of my first jobs, I bar backed at this local bar. It was a piano bar, and every Friday there's a drag queen that sang there, and I was kind of like her assistant, getting her shots, doing her thing. So I kind of through her met all the drag queens back in the day, and I've just kind of known all of them ever since. Just grown up in Providence, and the drag scene kind of exploded here, and just like bartending in the bars and stuff, you get to know everybody, which is nice about working in a smaller community.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a behind the scenes look at it.
And I worked for a lot of arts, like a lot of health nonprofits when I first moved to Rhode Island, doing kind of outreach. And one of my first jobs was working for AIDS Care Ocean State under this drag queen who was also the director of development. Her name is Kitty Litter. And so Kitty Litter was this like notorious wild monster of a human being with a heart of gold, because she was also raising money for nonprofits. That's who Gloria Hole is based off of. Like this thick Rhode Island accented, like tour de force beast.
You have a cameo for Miss Kitty Litter in the film, which I thought was sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, we kill her.
Well, I'm sure she'll be okay with it.
She's threatened to sue us, actually. <Just kidding.
laughs> Well, it's a small town, she can find you. And that's something people might not know, because Rhode Island is tiny. I'm not off base with that. I know that it's tiny. So people might not know that it's such a big scene there.
Yeah. For its size, it's very LGBTQ inclusive. We have a really great scene. A lot of gay bars. And I think that speaks to how like this movie even like exists, is that like, I think because of the size of the community and how close-knit it is like the reason we've got as far as we did. I don't think you could do this in like other cities, other bigger cities. It like everyone in the movie is a friend of ours that was like a drag queen locally, and every like set you see is probably a club one of us has worked at or something to that effect. So I think that's how Providence comes through.
Right. Well, that was definitely one of the questions I was going to ask you, because the scenes, the look in the location, they're beautiful, they're adorable, and I was going to ask you where you film, but it's all done in Providence.
Yeah, I think every set piece is done in Providence. Tony's office in the drag room, we actually built ourselves in the basement of our house. and a few of the murderous scenes we set up in our garage. But the club is a club downtown that graciously let us in whenever we kind of needed, and basements of other clubs. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's all around Providence.
If you're ever in Providence, like if you attend the Dark Lady, the Alley Cat, Stable Providence, AS220, you're gonna recognize a lot of like our featured scenes. That was really fun when we did the local showings. I think a lot of like our community and folks that helped contribute to make this movie really enjoyed not only seeing themselves or their friends in it, but actually seeing the city reflected back at them. Was a really meaningful thing, I think, for a lot of the folks who even just donated $10 to make that movie happen.
Right. Well, you definitely feel like a part of it. Absolutely. It's a family affair. I get a feeling of a whole little Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, Josh Becker with the three of you. That's so sweet and so cool that you guys, you're merging, you're getting all your creativity together to, you know, to produce this film that's really, really good. And your friends, and like you said, your friends afterwards, which is so important. You know, you don't want to go off set and be like, screw you, I fucking hate you, I never want to see you again, pardon my French. Although I saw the movie, so I don't think you care. But,
yeah, we can handle a lot of French. Like, it can come through. So
you come from this idea, you're like, we love horror. What killer hasn't really been, you know, hasn't had a spotlight on them? What can we do with what we know and what we love? I know, drag queens. And again, no spoilers. We're not going to say nothing about nothing. But again... that point where you go, oh shit, ha, I didn't see that coming. I thought it was somebody else the whole entire time. I'm going to tell you, until the one part, you know, I was like, oh, I have to rethink everything now because I was so sure of who I thought it was.
That is so validating to hear. And I would love Mike to kind of go into our whole whodunit kind mm-hmm. of narrative.
Yeah, it was, we had such a, I mean, this making Death Drop was a learning experience for like all of us. We hadn't really had any sort of film experience under our belts at all. And we had just like this like plethora of ideas, and we had this whole whodunit thing, and then we had to like scale it back, mm-hmm. but still make it make sense. So it is very validating to, I don't know, we like really wanted a lot of like red herrings, and like we wanted mm-hmm. it to be fun. Some people say that they like knew right off the bat. Some other folks have said that it's they didn't see that coming. So that's exciting. Yeah, that's very validating.
Yeah.
I think ultimately the movie still opens itself up to be like, well, it could be any of these people.
Right. And again, it comes down to the writing is so good because you have Dwayne. He's being bullied. You see, you know, he's getting like, just dismissive behavior towards him, and you're like, okay, I would kill him too, you know, I would go on a spree as well because he's just getting shit on. And then when you see who done it, you're like, you start thinking back and you're like, oh yes, when that happened, and you can see you know, I felt like it stemmed from a place of like jealousy, competitiveness, and things like that. And again, we're not going to spoil. And if I listen back and it sounds like we're spoiling, I'm going to cut it. But between you and I, it's just so well done because I literally sat back like this and went, oh, really? And then I had to, I rewound it a little tiny bit and I went, oh, okay, you got me.
I love it. Explain that, like, our movie is so much about outsiders, right? Like outsiders within our even small community. And so I think the parts that you're really like hitting on are what does Dwayne do when faced with racism? What does Gloria do when faced with ageism? Like, mm-hmm. what do our characters do when they're faced with these like really like real challenges? And that those are the things our characters are actually fighting against. And I think that is really what pushes them into who could have done it.
Right, and it's like, again, yeah, with the ageism, it's like, these newer or younger girls, they're being brought in and elevated. And it's like, what the fridge? I've been here doing, I've been killing it this whole time. Oh, no pun intended. And you know, you're going to bring in this bitch or you're going to bring in that bitch over me when, you know, I've been the one. So, yeah.
Thank you for saying what the fridge and bitch in the same sentence. I think that was like a glorious combo.
You're welcome. But yeah, no, it's just, you did really good with the red herrings. I have to tell you, I was really surprised. And that little, again, the last like half an hour, 27 to 30 minutes of it. And I'm not even going to get started with the very ending because I went, wait a damn minute. But, oh my God, I don't know the technological aspect of it or the technical aspect of it, but how you did the lighting and the splatter and the, oh my God, it was gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Some might say death drop gorgeous.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Can you shut his camera off?
I didn't. Did you?
Wait, I think my phone keeps cut out too.
That's all right. We were talking about all the red herrings and how it really can throw people for a loop because you think you know exactly who did. And you weren't afraid when I first started watching it, when the guy from the club, he's texting and he goes for his little rendezvous. I went, oh. I wasn't expecting to see that. And then I'm like, oh, we have spurting. Okay. And then the cut to Brian cooking the sausages. I was like, chef's kiss. I was like, this is so good.
Now. Yeah. We wanted to be known as the meat grinder movie. So I think we succeeded in that regard.
Yeah. A little bit. Whose idea was it for that cut?
Most of like the insane, I think, well, the whole movie starts with that kernel of like these dating apps, dating in quotations, that we have are so dangerous all the time. We put ourselves in these positions where we're meeting a complete stranger in like an abandoned warehouse for sex. But I think all these like sort of horrific, like, what if this happened, mostly came from Brandon and his terrifying mind. So a lot of the kills were inspired by him.
Oh, wow. Okay. So mental note.
But my whole thought on that is like, if you're going to make a slasher movie, you got to go all out. You got to do stuff that's different. You got to make it gross. Because I think that kind of retains rewatchability too. Because there's a lot of like really sleazy, bad, gory slasher movies from the 80s that like technically on paper aren't good, but they're so gross and fun that you just keep watching them. So even if you hate our movie, maybe people will like to rewatch it for those scenes.
Yeah, we wanted to make each kill like memorable and different and not something you've necessarily seen before, so that was important to us.
Right, absolutely. And I know for me personally, when it was a critical scene, I was texting one of my good friends and I was like, girl, you got to see this movie. And she was like, what's it about? And I'm like, murder, drag queens. And she's like, what's the name? She didn't even ask anymore. She's like, what's the name? So if you're watching a film and your first thought is, I need to text somebody to tell them about it, that's like, that's what you want. You want people to go, oh my God, this is so messed up. Watch it, you know?
I love it. The scene, the specific meat grinder scene that you were referring to, I think one of our favorite reviews that we ever got from it was somebody just sent us a video of their friend watching that scene for the first time, and super gay dude just screaming at the top of his lungs. And it was one of the most rewarding things I've ever witnessed.
5 stars.
Hoping to do what Jaws did to the ocean, what we're going to do with glory holes.
Please do. I was that person, you know, the person that's in the theater and they're going, don't go in there, don't do it, what are you doing? That was me, to, you know, not in a theater watching it on, you know, on my phone, but I was like, what are you doing? Don't go in the backyard. Why are you going? No, do you not see the bisque queen hanging? I'm like, oh, you're gonna stick your dick in that? you're an idiot. Up, see? So yeah, it was like.
But with that with that majestic like rubber hand coming out, how could you resist? How could you resist?
And he's like, okay. I'm like, you're an idiot. You deserve to die right now.
Don't forget, he was also an idiot and racist.
Oh, yeah. What did he say to your character? Something like, God, what did he say? He was like, you're not my type, chow, or you're boring, chow, or something like that.
He said, I'm not into femmes, and for the record, I'm not into blacks either, which I think a lot of like gay dudes are comfortable texting to each other, but not necessarily saying out loud. So we were really like spotlighting a very specific genre of white gay dude that exists in the community that we thought should die horribly.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Or you're gonna...
He's also one of the sweetest human beings that you would ever meet. Like, I think actually like sweeter than any of us combined. Like,
wow.
So Trad being a jerk is really funny.
Oh, and dying horribly. You know, only for your best friends, right? You got to give them the best deaths. So I love that this came from your community. And you said you're in healthcare, or you were in healthcare before this.
Direct care. So I was doing a lot of HIV AIDS work, like outreach, communications.
Education and things like that. Well, that's amazing. Doing free testing and education and outreach programs as well. So kudos to you. Absolutely. What do you other guys do for not your real jobs, for your other jobs? Where do you guys come from?
So I also work in nonprofit setting outreach with folks, young adults with first episode psychosis. Mm-hmm. And I also, we're so in like ingrained in our community. So I also bartend on the side. Brandon works in healthcare as well. So we all have our 9-to-5s. And that's why Death Drop kind of took so long to film, because it was like a nights and weekends project and all our friends are the ones that are acting in it. So it's just a lot of scheduling and a lot to work around.
Right, an absolute labor of love. That's not, well, for a horror film.
right.
Well, that's amazing. I want you guys, if you're cool with it and you want to promote your nonprofits, make sure you get that information to me and I'll put the links in the description when I put this up, okay?
Oh, okay, absolutely. Yeah.
I'll send you, because where Kitty Litter worked, AIDS Care Ocean State, I no longer work there. I work for an arts nonprofit now, but I think, just so you know, like even Gay Bingo, that is straight from Providence. Like we do have a every third Thursday of the month, like Gay Bingo raising money for HIV AIDS that is run by drag queens, that was run by Kitty Litter for years. So that is like that script of Gloria Hole is like really take it directly from life.
based on a true story, kind of. I'm so happy to hear that you guys are so involved, especially with the young people. Because it's so important. And I feel like the film is going to garner attention for the community and for the outreach programs and things like that, which is awesome as well, because you're entertaining and educating and helping.
Thank you. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, we're pretty easy to find on social media. Just like Death Drop Gorgeous is pretty much the handle for most things. I think Twitter's Death Drop Gorge, because Death Drop Gorgeous is too long. But yeah, so pretty easy to find.
Okay, awesome. And is there a website that people can go to?
It's deathdropgorgeous.com.
Easy. All right.
And Mike, if people want to see O'Hara posing without a shirt on, what's that Instagram handle?
Grindr.
This is what'd you say, Brandon?
Grindr.
No comment.
Grindr is
sorry,
dangerous. Isn't that crazy though? I mean, people are so going back to the again dating, because honestly it's hooking up. People just put everything out there sometimes. And I'm like, what, you guys are crazy.
Yeah, we are crazy.
Oh yeah, like when you say everything, it's not just like my address, it's like my butthole.
Exactly. I was so innocent, because I was married for a long time. I was so innocent after my divorce, and someone told me to get on Tinder. And I was like, okay, I thought I was gonna meet people. not instantly have people in my DMs going, hey, want to fuck? And I was like, oh my God. It, like 2 days, I think, of that. And I was like, gone. I can't. That's crazy. I'm not that kind of girl.
Which is so much of what our movie is actually about, is that, like, I think gay dating, like gay online, like online dating, we're responsible for. We created that. Like, mm-hmm. the queers, we only had one way to meet each other for a while, and that was like flagging or like Craigslist. So the fact that we have like dating apps, like, I think so much of what Mike was mentioned in another interview is how far some people might go for those kinds of moments, for those kinds of experiences, like in like a repressed, like a sexually repressed, like society, how far will somebody go? And like, what red flags will they ignore in order to get off?
All of them. Yeah. If you're in that headspace, I mean, I don't think you see anything other than, you know, what you're looking for. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, thank God. Maybe I'm just older, but it's like when I was younger and just like the online presence anyways, people would slide into your DMs and be like, here's my dick. And it's like, no, I didn't ask for that. Congratulations, you have one, but I don't need to see it. I mean, some people must like it, but don't send it to me because I'm going to be like,
Just send them a picture of Gloria Hole next time and like, and just call it a day.
Yeah. Be like, oh, well, here's some sausages being cooked.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Just send them the Gloria Hole scene and then they'll leave you alone.
Yeah. Right. It is. It's too dangerous. But like you were saying, I mean, you didn't really have, and God, Craigslist, you're going to get killed if you go on Craigslist. You can't even buy a couch on Craigslist without getting killed. Forget about it. You know, and what's the other option? Like, you know, you meet somebody in a club and you go home, you know, or the bathroom.
Yeah, so. I think it's such a strange phenomenon because, yeah, we don't have many outlets, and in the society we live in, you're assumed straight unless you otherwise are noting or telling folks. So yeah, I think that's why people gravitate towards these apps, and then they just like act a fool on them because we don't really have many avenues to meet people. Like, it's very rare that I'm going to meet like a very nice man in a bookstore who happens to also be gay. Right. So we have to use these godforsaken apps to find what we want, I guess.
Yep.
Right.
You know, and risk being murdered.
Right.
For love.
Brandon left us again. Everybody, you know, I think they dream about meeting somebody in the produce aisle, but you know, it doesn't happen like that in real life. That's the movies, unfortunately. And I think there was a lot of misunderstanding. Or maybe not misunderstanding, maybe it's actually that way, but the whole, what was it, George Michael and tapping your foot or something like that.
But yeah, like cruising in any kind of restroom. Yeah. But he didn't tap his foot. I'm pretty sure he just like whipped out his wang directly. Oh. Like he like showed the officer his dick like completely. So that's why he got in trouble.
But I mean, that was like, that was... what a sign or you know something of, you know, hey, I'm gay, are you gay? And you know, the person next to you might be like, why is he tapping his foot at me?
Yeah.
Or they might be like, he's tapping his foot at me. So yeah,
I think words cruising, if you're looking for a good horror movie, like cruising, like that was an Al Pacino one where like it was straight's kind of first exploring this idea of like gay horror. But like, if you want to look up flagging is also like a very like kind of gay culture way of like, how do you communicate? I'm ready to bone to a stranger.
Right. So the apps came out of a necessity, but unfortunately they've kind of created a monster. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
That really sucks.
And you can follow that monster at Mike. What's your Instagram handle?
I'm guessing it's Topless Mike or at Topless Mike.
At Topless Mike.
No. Oh, Mike was taken, right?
Right, that one's probably already taken. Then with like, I don't know, 666 after it.
Right. Well, this is how naive or maybe innocent I was. I didn't know what a thirst trap was until about 2 months ago. I was like, why are there so many like good looking guys doing these dances on TikTok? Hashtag thirst trap. Let me Google that. Oh, okay. I understand now. And girls do it too. I was like, hello. So yeah, Brandon got bored. He left us.
Oh no, I think he's just having some troubles. But I do love the fact that that a lot of these ideas are newer to you and you still enjoyed our movie. Like that's really cool to hear.
Yeah, I had a friend ask me, they were like, do you know about the gray sweatpants? And I was like, what about the gray sweatpants? I know about the gray sweatpants now. I sure do. What is next? What is next for you guys? What's next for the film? I mean, people can find it on streaming platforms, right?
Yeah, so on September 10th, it'll be available to rent or purchase on your traditional platforms like iTunes and Amazon and such. And then we are working on getting it to like a streaming platforms eventually. So yeah, September 10th, which is next Friday. Wow. Yeah, we'll be available to rent and buy. So that's next for Death Drop.
Are we planning a theatrical release even on a small scale? I mean, I know you did it locally, you said, right?
Yeah, we were hampered by COVID during our sort of festival run. So a lot of festivals in 2020 ended up doing a virtual thing, which was exciting because our film got to be seen by more eyes because people could rent and then watch it from the comforts of their home. But we never really got our like theatrical thing. There was a few drive-ins that we showed at, which were pretty exciting. And I believe our distributor, Darkstar, they have a few theaters they're working with. I know there's one in LA that will be showing Death Drop Gorgeous. And I think they're trying to find a few more. So it'll be a limited theater, which will be exciting because Death Drop always has felt like a film you're supposed to see with a crowd. Like you're supposed to be with people screaming and like laughing and like covering your eyes. So hopefully there'll be more.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like I could imagine, I have a friend who owns a gay bar here in town, the Twisted Rooster. And I feel like you should talk to these guys and have a showing because they have drag every weekend. And they even have an amateur night, which is kind of cool because I think a lot of people that have wanted to experiment or experience it. I think that's so sweet. But yeah, this would be amazing. Not even just like on a massive screen, which would be awesome, but even like a little art house, a little, you know, like a little small, cool theater, you know, and just, oh, it would be so good. You're right. It needs to be with like your friends.
I feel so confident that at an amateur bar, like amateur drag night at a bar called Twisted Rooster, this movie would be so relatable. It would be like, that's who we're talking to, is the people who go to the Twisted Rooster on an amateur night. Like those are the people who'd be like, is this my Saturday? I think this is my Saturday.
I mean, I guess he would have to contact you guys to get permission, or if he, no, because you can't rent it and show it other people. There's some legality there. I can't remember what it is, but.
I feel like if he like rents it and shows it at the bar, that's like, kosher.
I mean, our legal team is probably not going to chase him down. So,
well, you don't know the name of the bar. I never told you, and you definitely don't know his name because I never mentioned it. But yeah, that would be so fun. I tell you what, I'm gonna be like, listen, we need to do this and just have a blast.
Just gonna say, just take photos and please tag us when you take the photos, because that's fucking awesome. I think ideally that's what we always wanted our movie to be. So
yeah, I mean, you made it for everyone, but specifically for that community, for them to kind of look up on the screen and not hopefully see themselves as a murderer, but to see themselves and be like, yeah, totally, absolutely, we get it. That's us. I see it. Don't go in that basement. What are you doing?
For sure. God.
It was such a good film. Like, I can't wait to send it to my friend and be like, watch this. You got to rent this. I'm going to send her the trailer and be like, dude, check it out. But it's been such a pleasure to talk to you too, since Brandon kept hanging up on us. Tell him he missed out.
We will. Thank you so much for chatting with us today. This has been
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. It was so good. I mean, I can't even tell you, the writing is good. The cinematography is amazing. Just everything was so well done. This might have been a lower budget, not necessarily, obviously not a $1 million budget, I don't think, but it doesn't come across that way at all. And trust me, I've seen a lot of films, and some of them. Oh, look who showed up. Oh, he's a friend. He's got a lot of friends.
Aww. But you're right. The entire movie was made on $20,000 approximately. And we don't always say that as an apology. We actually say that as something we celebrate. They're like, look at what we could do. So then we're like, also give us more money and we could do even more.
Exactly. It's like, look what we did with this. Imagine what we could have done with 3 times as much, 5 times as much. Watch.
Right.
Because you have the special effects, you have just the set design, you know, the costumes. And again, those were all, like you said, your friends are locals, and I'm sure a lot of that was their own stuff, probably.
For the, I would, yeah, 98% of the drag queen costumes were their own costumes, I would say. They came to set with, like, their vision, and we were like, let's go for it, so.
Absolutely. And they looked amazing. They looked freaking amazing. It was awesome. But, Brandon, it was nice not talking to you, apparently.
Because we're on the way up to Maine and the internet's bad up here.
Yeah.
You're going to Maine? Oh.
Yeah.
Say hi to Stephen for me.
I will. Where are you based out of?
I'm in Florida.
Nice.
Yeah, it's hot. Yeah.
I got to say, if you had a chance to talk to Brandon, he is one of the sweetest human beings in the world. So I don't feel like he ever got a chance to campaign against that. He's not Tony Two Fingers. Tony Two Fingers is a character he used to, like, work for, like a person that was based off of, like, this, like, evil dude that he actually was tortured by. So one day you'll be able to vindicate yourself to Florida, Brandon.
Maybe. I mean, honestly, Brandon, though, that was amazing acting. If you saw, I think it was called 42, about Jackie Robinson, and Alan Tudyk played a coach for an opposing team, and he was just the nastiest, most racist dude. I love Alan Tudyk, and I hated him. I couldn't even watch anything with him for, like, a good long time because I was so mad at him. So good job, Brandon. Perhaps.
Well, thank you.
Date, I will forgive you for being such a douche nozzle.
and a lot of people don't know this, but Brandon's not Italian.
What? A little bit.
He's probably Irish.
A little bit. Cuban.
All right, we'll have fun. And Mike and Chris, it's been an honor and pleasure talking with you. I'm excited to promote, and make sure you get me your links and everything so we can promote your nonprofits, okay? And Brandon, if you have anything to promote like that, make sure you get it to me as well, okay?
Awesome. I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So September 10th, it'll be available to rent and purchase on things like Prime. What was the other one you said, Mike?
Like iTunes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And if owns a small theater or a big theater, contact the guys or contact me, and I'll get you in touch with them, because
yeah,
we have a big screen and just enjoy the hell out of it. I mean, it needs to be seen with a group of your friends, preferably intoxicated, I think would help.
Yeah, I think my favorite review that we've gotten was from the AV Club, and it said something like, best enjoyed with, like, a drink in hand and a smear of lipstick across your face. And I think that's, like, such a great, accurate quote.
Absolutely. I mean, the movie is sex, drugs, rock and roll, and murder, so absolutely. I mean, I'm not condoning drug use at all. Please don't get me off the air with that. I'm just saying.
I mean, neither were we.
Oh, no. Drugs and chat.
Thank you so much.
That means the world. Thank you
for making such an enjoyable horror film that made me go, oh god, so many times.
Anytime.
Have a good night. It was such a pleasure talking with you.
Pleasure talking to you too.
Thank you so much.
You too, Brandon.
All right. Bye. Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brandon, Mike, and Chris. Please do yourself a favor and go watch Death Drop Gorgeous. It is hilarious and it's so, so good. As always, head over to beunique.org. Love, support, and follow my beautiful human beings over there. You can find me on social media. I'm Pup Duffy on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. You can like and follow the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me via email, pup4ccc@gmail.com. That's pup, the number 4, ccc@gmail.com. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's backs, and I'll see you next time.